Thank you, Grandma Sue, for always being a blessing. Thank you for coming back tonight. I know there's always a lot to do and no time to do it. I'm glad to see people come back to the house of the Lord. We live in busy days, don't we? I was sharing with the bus workers yesterday. We live in a different time than when I used to run those buses. And now people are working 2 and 3 jobs and working 12 hours, 14 hours a day, sometimes 6, just to make ends meet. Both husband and wife working, and we live in a whole different time, I'll tell you. And get all the Word of God, though, you can.
Amen.
I'm proud of these teenagers.
Amen.
You teenagers make me so proud. You come to church, and no one forces you to come, and I appreciate that. I really do. I'm very proud of you for being faithful to God. By the way, I said the choir was great. You know, the girls are always real good. But I thought those men sounded good today, too, in that choir. I thought those men really came on and really put an add something to that thing today. I thought that was the best I've ever heard in our choir. I thought that was really great. But amen. Let's give a hand. And we'll be working on that Christmas cantata pretty soon, won't we? Next time. Okay. Yeah, amen. James chapter 1, verse 8, the danger of doubting. The danger of doubting. Glad you're here. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Don't forget, Thursday is King James Bible class. Dr. Ballard did a phenomenal job Thursday night. I thought he did an excellent job. He had an introduction to the introduction. He reminds me of me so much it tickles me, you know. And but he did an excellent job. He's doing an excellent job on Sunday mornings, Sunday school. This side usually has more during Sunday school than this side. Then church time, they kind of level out. So some of you on this side are not coming to Sunday school because Sunday morning, Brother Mike, this side's pretty full. And I never thought about that. Yeah, you know that's true, though. A lot of our teachers are down. Yeah, yeah. We're going to have to recruit. Brother Kentiver, we're going to have to recruit more people on this side so your side can be winning. What do we have in church today, Jack? 268. Amen. Let's keep pushing towards 300. Amen. All righty. James chapter 1, verse 8. One verse. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. God said, if you doubt everything, you never accomplish anything. Look what he says, a double-minded man is unstable. You know, he said, man, if you're double-minded, if you don't know for a surety of things, you will never accomplish things. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll help me tonight. I sure want to be a blessing. I believe this is what you put in my heart to preach, and I just pray that I can be a blessing to all the hearers. Bless our people. Encourage each one, I ask. We ask your blessings to be with us tonight in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Doubting. Remember, Thomas in the Bible. He says, if I don't see, I won't believe. He's a doubter. We call him Doubting Tom. There's a lot of Doubting Toms in Christianity. A lot of Doubting Toms. Not you, Tommy. No, not Tom Sailor. I'm using a cliche, Tom. And not Tommy Sailor, but there's a lot of Doubting Toms in the churches, not Tom Sailor. We're using it as a just an illustration. And so we want to try to help you today if you're going through some doubts about your life. Hopefully we can say something that would help you this week that would help you be strengthened. Doubting affects everything about your life. When we doubt, doubting affects our speech. It affects our process of thought, the way we think. Doubting affects our actions that we do or do not do. Doubting changes our responses, especially in adversity. If you doubt during adversity, you're going to, you won't know which way, you know. And doubting affects everything you do and say. Do you ever think about that? We need to be positive. Over and over, Jesus said, I want you to know. I want you to be confident. These things I write that you might know. And being confident. See, when you're confident, that removes doubt. When you know things for sure, you don't. That removes doubt. Amen? Doubting deceives us. Doubting discourages us. Doubting brings depression. And doubting can also even destroy our lives. So doubt is not good for anybody. Listen, we need to know what God wants for our lives. We need to know God's word. We need to believe God's word. And we need to know God's will for our life and not doubt. Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. When God speaks to you through his holy word, believe him. Don't doubt him. Well, I wonder if it really means that for me. No, it means it for everybody. Hello? When we fail to wholly trust the Lord and fail to believe his word, we allow Satan to come in and destroy and cause destruction in our life. Doubt. Look at Genesis. This was in our class Thursday night. Look at Genesis chapter 3. This is what got me thinking. And I've preached about this tons of times. Look at Genesis chapter 3 about Eve and Satan. Are you in Genesis 3:1? Satan made Eve doubt God's word. If you ever start doubting God's word, you'll never be effective for God. If you ever start doubting God's word, you will not have the confidence and boldness for Christ. For instance, let me just give you an example. If I doubt my salvation, will I be a good soul winner? Probably not. If I don't know I got it myself, then why? How would I share it with somebody else? And so we need to get a hold of God's word and God's will and get our feet planted solid and just stand the test. Amen? Amen. Doubt nothing about God. Well, notice in Genesis 3:1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. By the way, he was made too, just like you and I. He's not a human being, but he's part of the creation. He's not the creator. He's part of the creation. He wants to go above the creator, but trust me, he's far below the creator. Amen? And he look what he said to the woman. Yea, hath God said, watch out for people that will make you think that the Bible's not true. Yea, hath God said, if they can cause just a spark of doubt, they'll defeat you. I think you're being paged, Abby. No, that's Brooke. Okay. Too much talking in the front. Grandpa. Alrighty. Let's look now. Look what he said. Yea, hath God said. Satan wants us to doubt. He wants to, if he can just put the slightest doubt in our mind, he'll hinder our life. Well, we know the story. He put enough doubt in Eve's life. Look at verse 4. And the serpent said, woman, you shall not surely die. Liar, liar, pants on fire. And Satan would want to trick you and deceive you and me if he could put any kind of doubt at all about God and his word. He could trip us. And he tripped him up. Well, Eve got tripped up, didn't she? Took her husband down with her, but now it's his fault. But he got a mission accomplished. He got into sin. Amen? And you know, a lot of times we'll say, Satan will put that little thought on, well, this little sin won't matter. This little thing won't matter. And it does matter because little becomes big. One little drink of alcohol won't matter. One little thing of drugs won't matter. One little view of a pornography won't matter. But the next thing you know, it goes big. One touching of the girl that you shouldn't be touching won't matter. Are you with me? And so he puts doubt. And the next thing you know, we're doing things that we shouldn't be, even though we know we shouldn't be doing it, because he put doubt. Oh, it doesn't matter. It does matter. Amen. When God says, thou shalt not do it, you should not do it. You know, God doesn't have a contingency where he compromises. God says either yes or no. And I want to just give you a few things. Doubt. If Satan can get you to doubt God's word, he can easily defeat us. I'm going to tell you that right. You ever see people that doubt God's word? They're easily defeated. You ever see someone confident in God's word? You can't defeat them. Doubt keeps you from being successful. Doubt will stop you from stepping out in faith and achieving and accomplishing things that God wants you to do. If you doubt, you won't step out in faith. I stepped out in faith months ago. The Lord told me, we were sitting in there with a banker. We were going to apply for a loan for the church building. And I know the Lord told me, don't borrow. Aren't you going to trust me? You said, well, preacher, we haven't got the money yet. Yeah, but I'm not doubting God at all. Maybe this isn't the right time for us to be up there. Maybe God wants, listen, God makes no mistakes. And by the way, the borrower is a servant to the lender. My big thing now is to get us out of debt, the debt that we do owe, and also to build. And boy, when you get that debt out, you have no debt, and you start building, and you just build what you have, there's no pressure. Amen? By the way, you will see this. The Lord will provide. Because anything he's ever told me, he's always done. And I want you to know right now, I'm not doubting God at all. Matter of fact, Brother Bobby, you were there that day. Brother Carl, you were there, and I can't remember all the men that was there that day with me, but I think Brother David was there and some others. I'm going to tell you men right now, I'm as confident today when I spoke out in that meeting that the day I spoke out said, no, we're not going to borrow. I'm as confident right now that God told me that, just like I told you that day. My faith in what God told me has not shrunk at all. I have no doubt about what God's will for us. I know for a fact that God doesn't want us to borrow money. Amen? And I know for a fact he's going to let us build someday, but he'll do it in his time and his way. And when it's done, we'll say, wow, he did do it. And people will say, it won't be Rich Skiver, it was God. Amen? All we got to do is not doubt and trust him. I want to give you a few examples in the Bible. Well, first I'm going to give you examples in my own life. Doubting keeps us from being successful. How many want to be successful for Christ? How many want to be successful in your everyday living? If you doubt, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If you doubt, you'll never be successful. You got to know what you know. You got to believe what you believe. Does that make sense to anybody? Now listen to me. I remember, and I give this an example. 28 years ago, you go back over 28 years ago, in December of 7th, 1980, Rose and I and the kids went down to a little storefront on Galena Street, and we started the Lighthouse Baptist Church. Amen. Do you know, Brother Bill, I had a multitude, not just a few, I had a multitude of people that told me from different places, why are you going down to Galena Street? Why are you, and they said, are you sure God wants you to do this? You know all the churches, the big churches, they haven't done it. How could you, a kid off the street, how could you go down there and be if the big churches have failed, how could you imagine you could accomplish anything? And I just would tell them, I don't know, but I know one thing, that's what God told me to do. And on December 7th, Pearl Harbor Day, 1980, the Lighthouse Baptist Church started. And 22 people showed up for Sunday school. Didn't take one person out of Liberty Baptist Church. 26 showed up for church. And in 6 weeks, we had 66 people. And in 8.5 years, we had over 1,000 recorded professions of faith. And today, they had church service down there. I didn't call, but I'm confident, because I know the pastor's still preaching down there. So Annie, for over 28 years, even though preacher wasn't there, but only 8 or 9 of them, the churches went on. Why? Because God said he wanted us to start. See, when God's in something, look up here. When God's in something, don't worry what other people say.
Right.
Let God be true and every man a liar.
Amen.
And I'm so glad I didn't listen to the naysayers. And I'm so glad I didn't listen to the unbelievers. And I'm so glad I didn't listen to the ones that were skeptics. You know what? I never doubted. I really didn't. I went down there believing God. That's one thing. If you want to be successful, Josh, don't do nothing until you know God's in it 100%. Then do it 150%. I was telling the bus workers yesterday, everything I do, I never do just half-hearted. When I usually do stuff, I put all my life in it. I'm going to be successful for God. But you can only be successful for God unless you know for sure you're doing God's will. And if you have doubt, you won't be successful. Amen? Look, let me give you an example. By the way, I noted this. Many of you have told me, I told you, I know God sent me here to Bethel. I even mentioned this morning how I know God brought me here. I have no doubt about me being here. Andy, when I first came here, probably for the first 5 or 6 years, I had people call me to come and pastor other churches, and they'd actually get mad, especially ones from Toledo, people I used to pastor. They'd say, "You're not in God's will. You need to be back here pastoring. You don't love us." Well, they just loved us, and they wanted us there. And I said, "No, it's not that I don't love you. I know I'm right where God wants me to be." Had several churches. I had one man call me 5 weeks in a row. 5 weeks in a row. And I finally said, I'll give you another guy's name. Because I could see he wasn't going to give up. And I said, let me give you a guy just like me. A little bit older, but. And they called him. He became their pastor. He's in heaven now. But one lady, they were real close to me and Rosie, fairly close. And boy, she'd cry in her, "You preacher, you and Rosie should be here. You shouldn't love them." I said, "I didn't leave you. God told me you had to go." Are you still with me? Always know what God wants you to do. I told Brother David, I'm so convinced for this church. By the way, I'm not planning on checking out. I'm planning on staying for the duration. But I told Brother David, I said, even if I die, don't you borrow money. I said, I know for sure it's God's will that we don't borrow money, that we build by faith. He said, amen. And then I see his faith even got larger because he said, preacher, I believe not only that God's going to do the first building, but I think he's going to do lots more debt-free. I said, amen. He's got the vision with me. I hope you get it too. Some of you folks have came to me and said, we know God sent us here. We know God sent us here. And there'll be times in your life you say, "Oh, I don't know if God really wants us here or not." That's Satan. That's Satan. He's attacking your mind. Mark, I really believe in my heart that God wants you and Betty here. I believe that with all my heart. But I guarantee you, there'll be days that Satan comes to you and Betty and say, "Huh, you shouldn't have went to Bethel. You should have went somewhere else. Or someone else came here and joined this church this last year. Brother Kataiver, the delegate, you shouldn't have gotten in Bethel Baptist. You should have went somewhere else. No, you came right here, Brother Kataiver. We love you. That's where God wants you to be. Don't ever leave us till you, unless you move out of state. Stay with us."
Amen.
See, all Satan wants you to do is start doubting. Because if he can get you to doubt, he can trip you. Brother Mike's going to be running a marathon, I think. It's a 26-mile thing in a couple weeks here, down there at Wright-Patterson Air Base in Dayton. And I'm going to tell you, to run 26 miles, you're going to have to concentrate and focus on what you're doing. If he starts to doubt, man, while he's running, he might trip up, fall down. You know, you got to have you got to focus and know what you're going to do. Amen? And so if you want to run the race and you want to make, and you want to finish the race, then just keep it in your heart. I know this is what God wants. By the way, Brother Ray, don't ever do it until you know God wants you to do it. Brother Kerry, don't ever do anything unless God tells you he wants you to do it. See, when God puts in your heart, Nicole, you and Sean, when God puts in you kids' heart to do something, and you know it's God, like I was in tears. I was in tears a few weeks ago. We had that biker, little piglet first scholarship, and we seen all the bikers, and I had all the bikers come down with me at the table, and I was in tears, and I said, hey, me and Jack and you guys, we used to talk about having a biker thing. We talked about it. We dreamed about it. But now it's a reality. And Sean, it's because we really believed in our heart that God wanted us to do it. That's why we went ahead and did it. Jack, it's because we didn't doubt. If Judy, if we'd have kept saying, well, maybe let's think about it more. If we doubt, we wouldn't have had our first blessing. We wouldn't have had the first bike ride. Hello? Well, I'm glad we're not doubting. I'm glad we're doing what God wants. Amen? And so doubting. Look real quickly. Boy, it's already 7 o'clock. Man, you got a long-winded preacher. It just takes me time to get started. Look at Acts chapter 17. I'll have to get real going here. I only made a 2-page outline. That's short for me. It really is. I try to make it short for you. Acts chapter 10. You'd be surprised how many times Eddie Yunlis, God will put doubt. Forget that. You need to go somewhere else. You need to do something else. Don't listen to him. Bobby, oh my lands. I told the people to tell him that they appreciate the youth director. Oh, my lands, you'll be doubting all the time. Did I make a mistake? Why did I tell preacher I'd be the youth director here? I ought to be nuts. My wife's going to have a heart attack, stroke. You might. But do it as unto the Lord. It's not easy being a youth director. Probably the hardest job in the whole church. And there's a lot of, when you love the kids and you care about them, there's a lot of heartache, a lot of worry. Yeah. But we've got a special group of kids here, and they're worth every bit of it, amen? Amen. But I guarantee you, Jamie, there'll be times, here's Jimbo, and there'll be times that Satan will come and say, he'll make you doubt. Was you really sure that God told you to be a youth pastor? You know, was you sure? Are you sure? He's laughing because I guarantee he's already told you that. How many know what I'm talking about? Are you sure you're supposed to run the bus? Are you sure? How many are with me? Are you sure you're supposed to be a Christian school teacher? Did you make a mistake? Hello? How many are with me? Are you sure you're supposed to be out preaching to this evangelist? Preacher wants you home. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm kidding. But no, I'm telling you. Listen to me. Are you sure you're supposed to be a Sunday school teacher? He will put doubt in our minds. He will put doubt in your mind. And you need to know God's perfect will. And you know, you need to know God's word in your heart. So when something comes up, you say, no, that's not true. Because if you've got scripture in your heart, they can't. I used to always try to listen to the Christian radio. I wish I could find a good one. We'd be driving down the road. I'm going to be a little bit longer tonight. I'll get you up by 7:30. The football game's over anyways, and we probably lost, so They were losing when I left, 21, I think, to 7 or something. What happened? Yeah, and that's the one that really counts. 38 to 10. Anyways, it's great preaching. I forgot what I was going to say. What was I doing? Where was I at? Oh yeah, I used to be. Where'd you get older? Let me help you ones that are younger. When you start getting older, you need to write lots, keep a pad on you, write notes. I'm going to my bedroom to get this. I'm walking upstairs. So if you forget, you can pull it out. That's why I know Dr. Howells always said, when you get a thought, write it down. He was telling me, when you get these thoughts about going to find, write it down so when you get there, you can understand why you're there. But Eddie, I'd be driving down the road, and Jeannie, I'd be listening to these preachers, and me and Rosie, and they were idiots. I'd say, that's not right, you idiot. And, you know, that's not true. You're a liar. I'd be screaming at the radio. I'd be saying, no. There's no truth in what you're saying. And Rosie said, they can't hear you. Kind of like when at football games, I'll get trestle, or I'll be out those coach. You idiot. Do this. And Rosie said, they can't hear you, knucklehead. But I used to get so irritated listening to those false teachings on the radios. I'd get downright mad. But Lester, I'd love to hear Lester Roloff, stuff like that. But these other guys, and they'd come across, and you'd be surprised how many people will believe a lie. Did you know people believe a lie before they know truth? And I thought, look at all this. They teach like you got to be baptized to get to heaven, or you can lose your salvation, stuff like that. Or they're holding on. We're not holding on, Jesus. We're kept by the power of God. But just so many things. Andy, I would get, and man, I'm a fundamental far right to back. I mean, man, independent King James hell preaching, and man, Brother Mark, I would yell and scream. I'd call up the station and say, why do you let those stinking liberal teachers in and evil teachers out? And they said, Reverend, we have to have everybody get, it's a free world. I said, you're propagating evil. And finally Rosie said, just turn it off and put a gospel tape in there. So, put something in there you can calm your nerves, you know. I was getting stressed out. Just listen to the Christian radio. And so now I take all kinds of gospel music with me in preaching. So I mean, preaching that I can listen to. But if you would doubt, say like someone didn't know the scriptures, and they listen to that radio, Brother Mark, and they bring, and they say, man, what preacher? I don't know now. I don't know if what preacher told me truth. You know what I'm saying? And if they can just put that one little seed of doubt, that's all it took for Eve, one little seed of doubt. Let me show you where the doubt. Let me show you one more thing, and I'll go home. We're not going to get to the second page. I'll finish this first page. How's that? But if Satan can get you to doubt, he's already got you defeated. Doubt. Say this with me. Doubt brings defeat. Yeah, it does. You got to know God's word, and you got to know God's will, and then you just got to believe it right to the end. Amen. Let me show you Peter, Acts chapter 10. I won't give you no more illustrations. I got a whole page here too, but that's the way it goes. I think I'm getting my point across. And that's all that mattered. Acts chapter 10, look at verse 17. Now, you know this is a great truth. In Acts chapter 10, Peter gets a vision from God, and he's told to go to Cornelius, over the Italian. Amen? He's a good man. He likes the pizza. Cornelius of the Italian band. By the way, there's a great truth there. I've always given you this truth, but when you study, here's one for you Bible scholars. When you read chapter 9, 10, 8, 9, 10 of Acts, How many sons did Noah have? He had three sons. Jacob, Ham, Seth, and Japheth. Ham, Shep, and Japheth, right? Are you with me? How many are with me? Now watch. You think God doesn't want all people? And by those three men, by all three of those men, the whole world's populated. Are you with me? And the Bible says, for God so loved the world. So that means he loves every person on every continent. That Christ died for every person. Watch this. In Acts chapter 8, there was an Ethiopian eunuch that got saved. Philip led this eunuch from Ethiopia to Christ. That was a black man. That's, if you follow the descendants of Ham, they went to Africa. How many are still with me? So God saves a black man. Now watch. Chapter 9, the Apostle Paul gets saved. He was a Jew. That came out of Seth. Shem. I'm really messing up tonight. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So Ham went to Africa, and you see that illustrated in Acts chapter 8. Then in 9, you got Shem. Are you with me? That's the Jewish man, the Apostle Paul. And then you get to the Gentiles. Chapter 10, Cornelius. See, God's showing you, he wants everyone saved from all over the world. Because you got all three people represented. How many see that? You got, from all those three sons of Noah who populated the whole world, you got someone from each one of those seed lines, you got someone saved from each one of those seed lines. How many see that? Isn't that good stuff? You get that, my Romans class. But anyways, that's a good book, wasn't it? Anyways, look at Acts chapter 10. And see, Peter's a Jew. And in the Old Testament, the Jews never had no dealings with the Gentiles. Like I told Brother Gray, 70% of our people here are from West Virginia, including my wife. And I really believe, I believe Ohio would be in bad shape one for the people that came up from West Virginia. I really believe that. By the way, I'm not making fun. I mean that from the depths of my heart. I think we're better because of the West Virginia people that came to Ohio. I think they had a little love and hospitality to our northern Yankees. Amen? We needed it. God bless the West Virginia people. They moved their capital to Akron just for us. Lou, just for us they did it. But anyways, you know that Peter in the Old Testament, the Jews never would have no dealings, none whatsoever with the Gentiles. So when God told Peter to go witness to this Gentile, Peter's saying, hey, Lord, I'm a Jew. He's a Gentile. He's unclean. And God says, what I call unclean, you just go and do it. Now we're opening up all the Jew and Gentile. Because, see, God at first only was going to the Jews. But after they reject him, he opened up to the Gentiles too. Thank God for us West Virginian people. Amen? For all the Gentiles. All right, now, look at real quick. I'll just follow this and I'll quit. By the way, you're going to get a break, Mark, because I had another whole page right here. You're right here right now. Aren't you glad? And you had all this rod, both sides, and I'm going to stop. I'll get it someday. But I want you to see this. And there's a truth I want you to get. I think I'm getting that truth. The importance of not doubting. Look at Acts chapter 10, verse 17. Now, while Peter, what did he do? He doubted. And that's what, we got to watch that doubt because it'll destroy him. He doubted himself what the vision which he had seen should mean. Behold, the men which was sent out from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house. And stood before the gate, and he called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit, and by the way, it's the big S. The big S means Holy Spirit. Little S means the Spirit of man. How many are with me? By the way, when you get saved, you get the big S inside you. You already have the little S. And the Spirit said to him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, get thee down and go with them. Watch. Doubting. When God's word, when God's Spirit speaks to us, we should not doubt. Now, make sure you need to try the spirits. They rather be of God. Every time you say, well, God told me, it'll line up with the word of God. God never goes contrary to his word. So if what you're wanting to do is contrary to God's word, it wasn't his Spirit that spoke to you. Are you still with me? Notice, God said, once you know something, doubting nothing. And he went and led him to Christ. Now stay with me. Turn to the next page, chapter 11. So he goes and wins this man to Christ, Brother Bobby, the Gentiles. And so now he's in the synagogue, Lizzie, and the Jews are all up. Hey, what's going on? The Jewish people, he's over in the temple and a different, he's in the church there, and they're saying, hey, what's going on here, man? Heard you went to Gentiles. Look what it says there. And the apostles in verse 1, and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, First Baptist Church of Jerusalem, that's where he was. That was the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. It really was. Because Jesus started a Baptist church. When Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they were of the circumcision. Now, circumcision means the Jews. Uncircumcised means Gentile. Are you with me? Were of the circumcision, contended with them. Oh, they weren't too happy. Saying, thou wast to the man who was uncircumcised, that dirty, rotten, no good dog. And just eat with them. Man, you wouldn't even eat with them. Man, we're not supposed to be with those Gentiles. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning, expounded it by order, saying, no. See, if he would have doubted, he'd say, oh, I'm sorry. I probably made a mistake. But he didn't doubt. After he did what he did, he knew what God wanted him to do. Look what he said. I was in the city of Joppa, praying in a trance. I saw a vision, a certain vessel. By the way, you don't need a vision no more. You got the full written word of God. I'm worried about these people. So they have a vision and God gave them a new thing. What happened? You went to bed late and you ate too many pickles and peanut butter or something, and you just had a bad dream. And a great sheet let down and from heaven in four corners and came unto me, and upon which I had fastened in my eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts and earth and wild beasts, creeping things and fowl of the air. Because see, the Gentiles were foul to them. They were just unclean. And I heard a voice saying, rise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered my mouth. I'm a good fundamental Jew. But the voice answered from heaven. Boy, I like it when God speaks from heaven. What God hath cleansed, call now not common. And this was done three times. And all were drawn up again into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men come from my house, and I was sent from Caesarea unto me. And this, what, look at verse 12. I'm going to stop there. Verse 12, Acts 11. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. How many see that? Now let me just say this to you, and I'm going to close. If Peter would have doubted, would good chance Cornelius might not have been saved. Look up here. If Peter would have doubted, good chance he wouldn't have went and witnessed to Cornelius. And if he doesn't witness to Cornelius and all his household, all those people don't get saved. See how doubt can not only affect our life, but can affect others? See, God doesn't want us to doubt. He wants us to follow in firm belief. And if you doubt, you can't do something after God tells you, you will forfeit the blessing. Mark, I know it's not been easy, But I think God's going to work things out in the future. And I tell you, you guys are a blessing to Bethel. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you wouldn't have been there, you would have forfeit the blessing of being at Bethel. We would have lost the blessing, and you would have too, because I'm going to tell you, I can say it to every one of you. When you don't do what God tells you to do, you forfeit the blessing. And so don't doubt. I wonder how many people, how many blessings people have lost out on in life because they've doubted. And I'll save you the other page for another time. But how many blessings have we lost out on because we doubted? And why did we doubt? We weren't sure of the scripture. We weren't positive of what God's will was. Know your Bible. Know God. Know God's will. You can't shake me from here. You can't shake me. This is God's will. And I know it. Are you with me? And see, when you know what God really wants for your life, and you don't let Satan put doubt in your heart, nobody can shake you. So go out confident and learn and draw close to God and know what God's perfect will is for your life. And once you know God's perfect will, go after it and don't doubt. By the way, it's not always easy. Matter of fact, most of the time it's not easy at all, Lizzie. It's hard. But I'd rather be in God's will and be convicted and know than to doubt and waver away. Amen? Well, it might be easier, but you sure won't have the blessings that God has for you now and in the future. And by the way, how many people's lives are affected because you're faithful? How many people's lives are you touching right now? If you were to doubt, I'm going to add one more thing. Don't doubt your salvation. So many people doubt their salvation. And I've never had no trouble with my salvation. I got saved and I've always believed it. I just know God saved me. But a lot of people struggle with that. Rosie struggled with it for years. And let me just say this, if you're here doubting your salvation. If you've done what God told you to do, that's all you can do. Believe his word. He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Did you call him? Did you call him with your heart? Did you mean business? If you meant business, God meant business. And you can only be saved once. How many Christians get defeated, drop out of church, quit reading their Bible, everything, because they get defeated because of doubt? I'm not really sure if I'm saved. Go back to that time where you made a profession of faith. The Bible says, and I close with the scripture, it's in 2 Corinthians 13:5 says this: examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self, lest you be a reprobate. I know I'm saved because I can take you back to the place I was born. I don't know the exact time, but I know I can take you right to the place. I know it was in 1969 at 1034 and Ash Sherman Street, upper duplex. I can take you right by. I can take it. I know I meant business with God. I've made a lot of mistakes down through those years. Preachers made a ton of mistakes. But God's never made a mistake. I'll quote this scripture to you. In Titus 2:1 says, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. What it is is this. The reason people doubt, here it is. 45 minutes to tell you this one sentence. The reason people doubt, they don't believe. Because belief erases doubt. Unbelief brings in doubt. How many got it? When you firmly believe, it closes the door on doubt. Annie, years ago I asked Christ to save me. I don't doubt it no more. He saved me. He said it. That settles it. Don't matter who. It don't matter if I believe it or not. It's settled. Just like, how many believe Jesus is coming back real soon? Say amen. Amen. He is coming back, but it doesn't matter if we believe it or not. He's still coming back. Because his word's forever settled. Can't get by that word, can you? It's a great Bible. Trust his Bible. Read his Bible. Study his Bible. Know the scriptures. You won't. If you know scripture, you won't be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. That's why they can't trip you, if you know scripture. And your spirit will say, warning, warning, warning. That's not true. And your heart will say, oh yeah, I know what the truth is. I'm not going to doubt. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this crowd that was attentive to listen tonight. Lord, I know Satan uses doubt to hinder and hold back Christian to go forward. He uses it as torment. Doubt brings torment and trouble, and it brings discouragement. It brings disasters in people's lives. Discouragement, even depression. Doubt even brings destruction. So, Father, I pray with all my heart that you would help us to know your word and to stand firm with your word and not doubt. Doubting nothing, as you told Peter, doubting nothing. And Lord, there's things in our life that you speak to us about. When we know for sure it's you, help us to take a firm hold of it and doubt nothing. And help us to stand out and go forward. Lord, there's people here that maybe you spoke to them about something in their life. And you want them to do with something with their life, but they doubt. And because they're doubting, it's keeping them from doing that very thing that you want. Help them not to doubt no more, Father. Help them to stand firm with you and believe. Because, Lord, you tell me if I believe, all things are possible. So, Father, I pray with all my heart for those that are having some battle with doubting. Lord, I don't know. There could have been a lot of things that aren't even brought up tonight. Father, help them. Help them, Lord, to get the victory over doubting. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many first can say, preacher, I know for sure I'm saved. I know I'm saved and I know I'm going to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I know for a fact I'm going to heaven. Thank you. You may put them down. Is there anyone say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure. Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure if I die, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Anyone like that? Hold your hand if I can see it. Pray for me. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Anyone like that tonight? Pray for me. I've been doubting. Maybe you've been doubting your salvation. I won't come to you and I won't embarrass you. I'm not going to call on you. But I'm going to pray for you. Is there someone here to say, pastor, I've been doubting my salvation lately. Would you pray for me? No one's looking. Just raise your hand. Let me see it. Yes, God bless you. I see that. Bless your heart. Who else? I've been doubting. Maybe there's something God's been speaking to your heart for you to do. Maybe he wants you to do something and you've been putting it off. You know God's wanting you to do it, but yet you've been doubting and you've been holding back. And you say, Lord, I want to do it, but I'm just doubt that I should do it. And you say, preacher, tonight God spoke to my heart while you preached, and I've been doubting some things, and Satan's been attacking me and putting doubts in my mind about different things. Pray that God gives me the victory. Who'd say that? Yes, 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 sir. God bless you. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir, I see that. Yes, sir, God bless you. I see that. Yes, I see that hand. Bless your heart. Watch out for doubting. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Satan he wants to put doubt. He put doubt with Eve. He'll put doubt with us if we can destroy our lives. Heavenly Father, you saw the hands on both sides. And Lord, there were some people, several people said they had some things that they were doubting about. And Lord, I don't know what they are. And really, Father, I just want you to know about them. That's between you and them. And Father, I pray with all my heart that you, Holy Spirit of God, speak to those people's hearts and remove that doubt. Give them confidence and a sure standing and a sure belief that you can take care of that problem. Help them to believe, because all things are possible if we only believe. And I pray for each one here tonight. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse.